Welcome to Street Talk Theology with Pastor Dominic Grimaldi. Pastor Dom went from a life of organized crime to federal prison. There, God saved him and set him free. Soon after his release, he attended seminary and received his master's degree and is now the senior pastor of Desert Sky Baptist Church, where he serves with a passion for biblical theology right here in Casa Grande. Now let's join our host, Pastor Dominic Grimaldi.
Pastor Dominic Grimaldi here with Pastor Michael Teddy and Ashuk. I'm not even mentioning his last name. I don't want to get in trouble. But here we are with Street Talk Theology. We take theology and bring it to the streets. Love my brothers here. Pastor Grimaldi at Gmail, shout out. This is probably our last show for the season till next year. I got to check the schedule. If not, I'll be bothering my brothers again or just doing one myself just to end the thing, maybe not to bother them. But we'll be back for sure the first part of the year. And I think we're going to think about, we're talking about to Pastor Michael and Ashuk, maybe thinking about looking at some books of the Bible. And like Ashuk always reminds us, we want to make sure we're prepared to do that. So that might be something we're thinking about doing. But we left off last time with, you know, kind of how to read the Bible rightly. And Pastor Michael was saying he would instruct people to read the Bible, come and ask questions. Make sure you're contextually correct. We looked at some metaphors or types of things where, you know, what does it mean to be a mountain to be moved, or wise as a serpent, harmless as a dove? And we didn't specifically say that, but just some types of literature and how to look at that. So here's my plight on this last show. Ashuk is a typology guy, so we want to continue that. Because somebody's going to say, what's typology? What is typology important? Do we need to know that in the Bible? So I'm going to give Ashuk maybe about 6 or 7 minutes. I know that's not a lot of time, but maybe he can explain to us what typology is. And then I'm going to switch gears and I'm going to get to Pastor Michael. And he's going to talk to us about pastoral ministry and the fact that maybe people going to church and maybe even Pastor Michael and his own members sometimes don't understand what a pastor might be going through. And what is it to be a pastor? I mean, and those are things that maybe that would help us. But first, I want to bring my brother Ashuk. And so, Ashuk, I come into your office and I say, I was reading in a commentary and I'm reading the Epistle to the Hebrews and it says here in the commentary about typology. And I don't know really what that means. The person's asking you, Ashuk, so how would you explain to them what typology is? And so, you know, maybe you can, and I know you mentioned Hebrews when we were talking this backstage. So how would you explain typology?
Well, I'm not going to give them the definition, because the definition might end up causing more confusion than what it actually is. So I would give them a very simplified definition from my end. Well, typology is, again, a literary device, like we had spoken about in the previous episode. And what this does is basically it compares something with something else symbolically. Okay, so say the Lamb of God. So there is a Lamb of sacrifice, and it symbolically represents Jesus Christ. And in the fact that the Lamb is sacrificed at the altar, and Jesus Christ is the actual fulfillment of that, whatever that symbolically represents, that Jesus Christ is the actual sacrifice, the final sacrifice once and for all. And when the symbol, when it comes to symbolism, there is a type and an anti-type. So the type here in the typology is the Lamb, and the anti-type is Jesus Christ. And there is a divine escalation when we move from the type and anti-type. I know I said a lot of words here. So basically meaning that the type is Lamb, the anti-type is Jesus Christ, and what is achieved through Jesus Christ is much, much greater than what was achieved through the Lamb. So that would be a typology as it is. And what we have in the Bible is the authors using it freely. Well, what I mean by that is, in the previous episode, even when we talked about spoke about the context and everything, how do we understand letters? There's a set of rules that we applied, which were very grammatical, contextual, and all that. But when it comes to typology, we might have to break some of those rules. I would say that some of those rules are a very good place to start. But when it comes to typology, we have something else happening altogether. And, but yet, this is important because the Bible uses it. So when we read the book of Hebrews, we'll see this kind of an interpretation that the author does, which I believe is Paul. Basically, he does something like this. He looks at Psalm 110, the Lord said unto my Lord, sit at my right hand, and say that this is talking about Jesus Christ. Right. And that, but one might look at it and wonder how does Paul arrive to that conclusion? How does he reach there? And that's when we have something called typology in the Bible. And we see this at multiple places. We see that the whole mystery of Jesus Christ and his love for the church is encapsulated in the love between husband and wife. Paul says that in Ephesians.
Yes.
Right. Similarly, we have this in multiple places, and Hebrews is full of it. So, like I said, what we do with the historical grammatical understanding of a text and the very wooden understanding of the text is good and necessary, but we have to understand that in every word of the New Testament, in every book of the New Testament, Jesus Christ is hidden. And this revelation of Jesus Christ and the culmination of it happens upon the cross of Jesus Christ. So that is a level of interpretation that I don't think that readers of the Bible should necessarily start with, but should be aware of. And once they are good with working with the text and with their inductive understanding of Bible study and everything, it is something that they should understand more and more. And there are excellent books written by people like G.K. Beale, Fesco, and Samuel Renihan from Founders has an excellent book called The Mystery of Christ, His Covenants. You can remember the name, book's name. Mystery of Christ, His Covenant, and His Kingdom. And John Owen, the Puritan, uses typology a lot. In fact, the early church fathers extensively used typologies. So one might ask, where is the line? Where do we draw the line with typologies? And there are different theologians and scholars coming up with different conclusions, but one of them is what we call analogia fide, that the analogy should be based on faith, the faith in Jesus Christ, and the Christ should be the final line of interpretation and typology. If your typology is not Christological, if it does not point you to Christ, then you're probably wrong. But you're okay as long as it points you to Christ.
Yeah,
So,
thank
yeah,
you.
that's
Yes, no, that's good. I know, like when Moses held a snake up in the wilderness. I mean, that would be a typology for sure. Well, now we got our lesson in typology. We last week, last time we were on, we kind of dealt with some genre and some issues. And I think next season, Pastor Michael and Ashok, I think maybe we'll start looking at some books of the Bible, and we'll do some homework and try to help people understand what the Bible means in its context and things like that. That might be a good project for us. But right now, I want to switch gears, and I want to end off kind of this season with Pastor Michael and Ashok. And I want Pastor Michael, being a pastor, to tell us, what is it to be a pastor? I mean, so all you have to do then, Michael, is just get ready on Sunday to preach, right? You don't do nothing during a week. You just kind of just get ready and preach and stuff like that. I mean, and I know that I'm saying that tongue in cheek. So tell us, let's look at it this way. Say somebody's thinking about going into pastoral ministry. Let's look at it from that angle. What should they expect, and what basically is a pastor, a biblical pastor today? Is that okay?
I think for anyone going wanting or desiring to go into pastoral ministry, I would say that at some level they already should be having that kind of an influence on people in their lives. That if they were to say, "I want to be a pastor," and their family members look at them with sudden If they give you a strange look, then that means there's something wrong. Because at some level, I think your pastoral ministry is a call that someone has, not just to sit in an office. But rather it's a call of the heart, where it's a pattern of life. It's a way of approaching the way you deal with people. And I mean, if we look at the Bible, the best word for what a pastor does can be, I mean, the best example could be what a shepherd does for the sheep. And we know Jesus is the good shepherd, and we are all the under shepherds. And so we are called as pastors to do what Jesus did for the church. We are called to stand on the forefront, teach, train, guide, help, counsel. We are meant to be representatives of Christ on the earth. So we stand and care for the bride of Christ with fearful hands, because the good shepherd will guard his sheep. And so we're really under shepherds who are trying to equip God's people, disciple God's people, help them live good Christian lives. But it's to do the whole stretch of it. We weep with those who weep. We walk with those who go through difficulties. We walk alongside them. We hold hands with people who are dying. We rejoice and praise and dedicate newborn babies. We preach the gospel of Jesus Christ and watch people converted. We bring them into the church, and we partake of the Lord's table together. If I could take all of what my own experience has been in the past few years, I think it's really the role of a shepherd, but to give it a more relatable word, it is to be a father to your people. It is to be an older brother to your people. It is to be that responsible senior member of the family who cares for everybody, takes care of everybody, who is there for everybody, he is the person they run to for counsel. He's the person they run to for prayer. He's the person that they look up to really figure out how to walk. And so you don't get that because you are ordained overnight. You don't get that because you get a seminary degree. You get that because people flock after you that way, because God's called you in that kind of a ministry. And you have a heart to want to help people like that. So, no, as you were saying, one of the things, maybe one of the most important things that a pastor does is to preach on Sunday morning, to prepare and wait upon God's word, because we know faith comes by hearing and hearing the word of Christ. So when a pastor prepares a sermon and comes and preaches on Sunday, he's loving his people. It's probably the epitome of his act of love. To preach God's word with boldness and strength and courage and prayer, that God would use those words to really fill and build people up. But that's only one of the many things that he does as a pastor, including all the rest of the things that I was talking about. And so I think I forget which book it was that had a foreword that was talking about what the pastoral ministry looks like. It was very exciting for me to read it, and very sobering.
What was it?
Which one? It was Mother Kirk, the book.
Mother Kirk, yeah. I think Doug Wilson's book, Mother Kirk, had a foreword.
What's the name of the book?
Mother Kirk.
Kirk as in Scottish for church.
Oh, okay.
Right. And in that foreword, you know, he was talking about just how pastors are not the experts of all fields, but they are still the counselors for everyone in every field. So as a pastor, I want to learn the word of God well enough, know the scriptures well enough, so that if I've got members who are starting a business, or if I've got members who are engineers, or I've got members who are doctors, or I've got members who are in so many of them, maybe they're in the film industry, and maybe they're in the music industry, all of them want to know how they can serve Jesus where they are, what they can do to serve Jesus where they are. And we know the Bible tells us in 2 Timothy 3:16 that the word of God equips us for every good work, not some. So the pastor is really, in that sense, a jack of all trades, in that he is not an expert in all these trades, but he knows the word of God well enough to be able to be applied across all aspects of life, every area of life. Which doesn't mean we have all the answers, but which means we know how to look at the text to arrive at those answers, so that we are able to help God's people navigate life and in how they approach all these things. And so it's just a tremendous responsibility, a tremendous calling that the Bible says is it's a noble thing to aspire to be an overseer. But at the same time, the Bible also teaches us that not all should be teachers, because they're held doubly accountable for what they do. And so the pastoral ministry is, you know, it penetrates all of life in that sense, for the congregation, for the people, in the lives of the people. And it's really a life, it's a joyful thing to be able to do that, but it is something that really pulls you apart in all directions. And the strain that it falls upon a man can sometimes be extremely overwhelming. And one of the things I keep telling people is that they need to pray for their pastors. They need to pray for their elders. They need to pray that God keeps them. Because, you know, the enemy is going to attack the leadership of the church. And we've seen time and time again how the leadership of so many churches fall. Men who are strong, or who have shown signs of being strong, have fallen, and because, you know, the enemy is ever after them. And so as much as the pastor then is to be that influence, that help, that guide and shepherd for the people, he too, in many ways, depend upon his people for their prayers, for their encouragement, for their strength, and for their support. And, you know, at the end of the day, all pastors are human, and strain, when strain increases, they too need encouragement. They too need help. They too need counsel. And so, I always encourage people not just to pray for their pastors, but to serve them. In fact, Jesus says such men should be given great honor, that you should treat them well. And because they're giving their lives for this cause in this extent, it, you know, the church has the ability to come and encourage them much in what they do. So it's really a, it's a wonderful calling, but it's a really tough calling. And so a lot of people want to become pastors, and probably not all of them should.
Yeah. So Ashok, here's a question. You're a young man, soon to be married. Praise the Lord for that. So is there, if I may, put old Ashok on the spot, huh, Pastor Michael? Do you see maybe in praying, do you see down the road maybe you trying to think about getting into the pastorate? Is that something that has been on your mind at all?
God willing.
Yeah, you talk about it in a minute.
Yeah, so one of the things that we're doing at church is that I'm doing a pastoral internship, again under Mike. And not that the pastoral internship necessarily means that everybody at the end of it becomes a pastor, but by the nature of how I've been serving at Redemption Hill, the church that we attend, and my pastors and everything, now God has been leading me throughout these years. How I understand God has blessed me and gifted me, along with my church's testimony and everything that, that God willing, that seems to be the trajectory I'm taking.
Yeah, and that's not easy either. So I think that I meet a lot of people who, you know, even seminary students who are eager to want to become pastors. And it's good to do an internship like that, because I like I was saying earlier, at the end of the day, I think there should be enough of a, I don't want to use the word evidence, but there should be enough of a sign, a clarity that, you know, this individual is really called into such a ministry. And so it helps for the church to come alongside. And so if someone has a desire to want to become a pastor, it helps a lot that the church is able to say, yeah, we see that gifting in you. That is something that you are clearly called to do. We can see you become a pastor. And I think the church is able to come alongside and agree upon that desire. It's a great clarification. It's a great confidence, it's a great encouragement in that direction. But some people that I do know who want to become pastors, my counsel is, I don't think you're called for that at all.
Yeah, no, you know, I was trying to listen. I just had a quick call from something, but I was trying to listen. And this is, we got about 4 minutes. This is a great topic. I think that, I think for someone's, when someone is called to be a pastor, I think the congregation knows that. I think the congregation will see that. And I don't know if I missed some of that, but I think the congregation will see that in that person. And they will lay hands on him and things like that. I think it's something like Pastor Michael said, this is a calling. It's not like a job interview. You know what I'm saying? You know, so that's something that we can pray for Ashuk, you know, because someday Ashuk, maybe by God's grace, Ashuk would be called in, into that role. And I know that the church would come behind and pray for him. Right, Michael? I mean, really. But I'm trying to think of the name of the book. Oh, I think it was Tripp. He calls it a dangerous calling, right?
Dangerous calling, yeah. That's
a dangerous calling. And that's you read that book, and he's pretty right on with that. Man, guys, we got 2 minutes left. That's crazy. And this is like the fourth season we've been together. Remember, I started this with you guys. I was not doing this alone. I said, man, I'm getting my brothers from India. But... You know, we probably won't be on till after Christmas. So obviously we want to wish everybody a Merry Christmas, you know, celebrate, keep Christ in Christmas. I know my two brothers would want that. But, you know, 30 seconds each, a minute each, Ashuk, just say hello to an audience that's been listening to you now for four seasons. So maybe you'd like to just... say thank you, and then I'll give it to Pastor Michael. And yes. This is customary. You don't know this one, Ashuk. This is every time we end up, Pastor Michael is going to end up and say, this is Street Talk Theology. We take theology. So I'm out. Listen, this is me. I'm going to – it's 49 minutes. We got about – you got about 45 seconds each. Love you guys. We'll get on the back show after Michael closes us out today. But Ashuk, what's going down, kid?
Yeah, it's a great privilege to be here to talk theology with you, to take theology to the streets and all these things that we get to do. And yeah, I was away for a while in between, but these four seasons, it's been, I can't remember some of the episodes, actually. Sometimes I'm surprised when I look at the feed and find certain episodes that I was in. But still, God's grace has been immense upon us, and the hope and desire is that we keep getting to do this. We keep getting to take the theology to the streets.
Amen. Absolutely. And I think, you know, this is definitely one of the signs that Ashok would say the world is getting better. that we're going to come alongside and do this kind of a thing. And yeah, we just pray and hope that those of you who are listening in will continue to be blessed. We love you. We want to serve you. Our intention is always to speak honestly, frankly, make mistakes along the way. And, you know, a lot of these discussions are not planned. It's just us talking about what we love. We love Christ. We love His word. We love the truth. We love the gospel. And we love our God who has done all these things for us. And we pray that He will do it for each and every one of you as well. And so here is us signing off this season. So this is Street Talk Theology, where we take theology seriously and we bring it to the streets.
Amen. Amen.
Thank you for joining us for Street Talk Theology with Pastor Dominic Grimaldi. You can visit Pastor Dom at Desert Sky Baptist Church at 891 West Corson Road, Casa Grande. And for more information, visit us online at www.desertskybaptist.org.